This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
You know that Ross's Appliances and Furniture is the leading appliance and furniture recycler in Hawaii. Ross's has been producing quality new and renewed appliances for decades. Ross's now debuts their new Green Bed Factory, Hawaii's environmentally conscious mattress and box spring factory. You can save your budget, your back, and the planet all at the same time at Ross's. Go green, save green at Ross's Big Green Building. Check it out for yourself. Ross's will save you hundreds of dollars, and they guarantee it.
Welcome to the Carol Cox Show. Another beautiful day here in Honolulu. I was anxious to get back here this week and got so much to talk about and so many things happening. Hope all is happy with the elections, and we hope to get the best out of the government. So we'll keep watching and keep on top of things. So anyway, as some of you have heard, we talked about fish over the months, the past months and past weeks, but it's not over yet, and I think it's important that I spend more time, and I will be, you'll probably get bored, but the reality is that I'm concerned that there is a monster lurking on the shelves and the refrigerated boxes and what have you. That we are not familiar with, and that we, you the general public, is not, and nor is the state government telling us, nor is the federal government telling us. But today, what I'm going to do, I have Mr. Michael Ostendorp, who is a longline boat manager, and Mr. John Hernandez, who is a commercial entity that exports fish from here. And I want to get a view from their standpoint on how these things are impacting. So in a bit, they will be on, and if you have any questions for them or any comments, please feel free to give us a call at 524-1080. I will also have a bit of this posted on the website at carolcox.com. That's C-A-R-R-O-L-L, cox.com, C-O-X.com. And what really happens as you... Just restating a few facts. People got sick back in 2007 and into the early part of this year. And what brought that on is there was concern with salmonella. So what I've done, and in looking around, and I'm constantly checking on this, as you know, we follow suit, Don Quixote settle out. But we're having some stubbornness that... we're experiencing with Safeway, Star Market, and I'll elaborate more. But what I'd say to you, for me as a consumer, I would be extremely careful, and I think I'll lay out a case for you here that you will take notice. Hopefully you will, especially for the elderly and children. For us old guys who sit around and drink a beer or glass of wine once in a while and attribute a stomach ache to just a bad night, we might get over it. But children and people that are already ill should be concerned. And what we're finding at some interesting experiences that we've and results. Take, for example, we went to Whole Foods, and most of you know of Whole Foods. And if you get a chance, they don't advertise with us. This is not a paid commercial, but it's an experience. The whole idea behind my efforts here is to try and expose you to a better source, a safer source, or at least enlighten you as to what's out there that may sicken you or get you ill or give you a better choice as a consumer. So what happens is I went to Whole Foods. Now, mind you, Don Quixote has settled out of court and agreed that the use of the name opaka-paka on fish that is imported from Indonesia is just wrong and improper. And so they agreed, and agreed with other issues too, calling it fresh. But I had the occasion to go into Whole Foods, spoke with their fish people, and Whole Foods has a policy, no chemicals, no smoke or what have you, and they want it to be as natural as possible. I'm just generalizing their description, but what I did notice there was opaka-paka from Indonesia, and immediately when I shared that and pointed it out with them, I was really impressed. They immediately took action, and based on what I had shared with them and explained to them that opaka-paka is a unique word, which they know, but the species was a different species and not even that other species that the same as opaka-paka or kali-kali or of some of the other deep sevens here. So what they did was to remove the entire shipment or the entire lot from their shelves. And in doing so, I'm told their national office agreed, so they no longer will carry the opaka-paka from Indonesia because it also was treated with carbon monoxide. So, rather than eating fish, I guess, every day, eat it on occasion. And the cost probably, it's going to be a little higher, I guess, but at least when you hear what we talk about here today, I think you'll be enlightened and have great concern. So, hooray for Whole Foods. Now, on the other hand, I went to Costco, and there's a little bit of confusion. And now, Costco, I did speak with the guy there, one of the managers there, Ken, and some of the others, but they're a little mum. And when we're asking questions about health safety of the consumer, I thought Costco has a policy that it's and they talk about the green footprint and what have you, but they're importing tuna from, for example, the Marshall Islands and then the others. So what a footprint are you placing on by importing tuna when you can buy just 10 blocks away? So those are some of the questions, but I also have questions in that one of their vendors that provide them the fish, we've gotten interviewed some of their former employees, and we have some disturbing information, and so we need to talk to Costco, and hopefully they come clean or whatever I describe it, to let us know. And keep in mind, if a package of fish is, if you see the little sashimi packages, if you see fish just raw and in a container wrapped in a blister pack, they have to identify the content and what it's made of. But if it's ready to serve like pieces of sashimi with the little mustards, that falls under a new category in that they don't really have to label the content. So I caution you to, Costco should, in fact, let us know. NORPAC packs this product. And Costco should let us know what that is that they're serving us, irregardless of the law. They should be willing to do that. And again, this whole hunt, I guess, stems from the fact that people were sickened by salmonella, tainted fish, and they showed up with salmonella, and fish was found to be containing salmonella. Now, Star Market, we've approached them, and this is their comment, basically. Show us the law. We don't have to stop selling anything. Show us the law. Well, on one occasion, I purchased a fish identified as opaka-paka, but then it's really not the same species. I've had it scientifically identified, and it was not opaka-paka. It would come close to kali-kali. But then here just recently, in the last 2 days or so, I purchased another package of fish, a completely different species, looking completely different, more like a Thai snapper, and it too is called opaka-paka. So this is an issue of consumer deceit, consumer fraud, whatever you'd like to call it. But, if you insist on calling it opaka-paka, be consistent if you're going to call one species that's not an opaca-paca and then substitute another species that's not an opaca-paca. You're confusing us. But as well, you don't indicate that these products are treated with carbon monoxide. So there begins a bigger problem. So what happens is that we have issues that we need to address, and in that, and it's safe if we only make it safe. And so what I'm going to do is I give you one definition that the federal government, they bring in shipments and they inspect them. They, not the federal government, but the importers bring in the fish. And when they bring it in, it has to be inspected, or should be inspected. And so what happens is they may reject it. They may reject the or refuse the shipment. And that shipment is, they will indicate that it's filthy or salmonella. But let me just tell you this is a federal definition when they reject something. And you're going to hear us talk about this later on. The article appears to consist in whole or in part of a filthy, putrid, or decomposed substance, or be otherwise unfit for food. Now, this is not my definition. This is the federal FDA, the Federal Drug Administration. This is their definition that when they reject a shipment, this is what they place on it. And salmonella, the same thing, and I'll, as we go. So having said all of this, good morning, gentlemen. Mike Ostendorf.
Good morning.
John Hernandez. And John, your company is, you have a great fish company. What is your company?
Our company is JFF, well known as John's Fresh Fish.
Mm-hmm.
We do all exports of, for me, myself, I only sell Hawaii tuna, which is... Mm-hmm. Which in my eyes is one of the best tuna in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because we have such a extensive HACCP program.
That's the Hazardous Analysis Critical Control Point, meaning the refrigeration, basically, or ice and cleanliness and whatever.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
So, and Michael, you, what's your role in this? How are you involved?
Well, I've been looking at the fishing industry. I manage a boat, and I've been looking at other places. You know, what do they have to do? What do they have to comply with? And like Marshall Islands, for instance, I checked out the operations down there and looked at, you know, how different they are from, mm-hmm. from what we have to do up here in Hawaii, what we have to comply with. I look at it more from an environmental issue,
mm-hmm.
because we have to fish in such a way that is sustainable, that we have no impact on the environment, and then foreign fleets just go out and just, you know, tuna to them is a byproduct. They just go in and fin sharks. That's mm-hmm. their primary source of income. And we're not allowed to do this. We don't want to do it, but we think that the consumer should not purchase fish from fleets that engage in shark finning.
Yeah, what is happening? You are heavily regulated here. Judge Ezra and Earth Justice and all, and even myself, have been really aggressively trying to make sure that there's an adherence to the environmental issues and the bycatch and the product and what have you. But the problem here is that we got to step beyond that as a community now, in that in the Philippines, in the Marshall Islands, as Mike is pointing out, shark finning is occurring. Your boats can't fish and keep shark fin unless you bring in the entire shark. But you're competing with an entity that is able to go fishing and still keep the shark, do shark finning as well, and then submit his fish, the tuna and the other fish, to the market here and compete with you. While you're, I don't know what the cost is, and maybe you can give the public some insight as to what it costs just to adhere to the legal requirements or the regulations, observers, round hooks, if you can give us a basic breakdown.
Well, we use circle hooks because it's one of the hooks that even if you hook a species that you don't even want to target, what you can do is if you release them, it does not enter the stomach system. It just gets caught in the side of the mouth. It rusts out mm-hmm. within a week. and there's no harm to the fish. If you use the other hooks like they do down in the Marshall Islands, even if you want to release the fish, you know, it doesn't make any sense because the fish will die. It ingested the hook. And we have federal observers on board that make sure that we comply with all the regulations. And, you know, there's gear. I mean, for instance, just the gear setup, the way they were doing it down in the Marshall Islands on those foreign boats, those Chinese boats that they had down there, they weren't even targeting tuna because in order to target tuna, you have to set gear in a certain way. If you're setting it in another way, real shallow, well, obviously you're not targeting the tuna, you're targeting the shark. So the tuna is just a bycatch. And then they're selling it up here in Costco, and the consumers go and buy fish, you know, at Costco thinking, well, it's all fine and dandy, but in all reality, this is fish that comes off boats whose primary target is to shark fin.
Right.
And, you know, guys like John over here trying to make a living selling Hawaiian fish and, you know, competing with this foreign import that has been subsidized through some illegal activity.
So, John, share with the public what's your process when you, and how you come by your fish, and what are some of the restrictions in, that you have to contend with or apply to?
Well, for me, Hawaii has, you know, a high standard, which is what we want, which is what the fishing industry needs. But it comes out of the fisherman's and the public's pocket.
Right.
You know, it really does. And it doesn't matter if it's gonna sustain the fishing industry. You know, our small fishing industry. If it does that, I'm more than glad to be it.
Right.
But hey. Let's get some rules across the board.
Right, a level playing field.
A level playing field, exactly, yeah. Sir, exactly.
I think we got a call from one of you guys. Bob? Anyway, we missed him, but so it's an issue of a level playing field. My interest is, I guess, more than, there's many facets of this that I'm concerned, the environmental concern, and that is you are a regulated industry.
Yes,
through HACCP, through the endangered species, through the Marine Mammal Act, through the Observer Program, and on, and Coast Guard. And in turn, the other entities and the foreign entities don't have that strictness, per se. So what that means is the species found in those areas are not being protected.
Wiped out.
And then secondly, they're not adhering to HACCP. And that brings us to the subject of the salmonella in the fish and what have you. Bob, are you back? Good morning, Bob. Are you there?
Yes, I am, sir.
How are you?
I'm very middling.
All righty. Well, what you got for us today? You got a question for John or Mike?
I want to thank you for bringing these two guys on because they put a different light on the picture, you know. They tell you, I didn't know that they had a hook that wouldn't go into the stomach. That's a real good idea, yeah? It saves a lot of fish that they don't want to capture, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But besides that, you mentioned time. By thing for carving is, if you go to Times Supermarket, and I go there a lot to buy fish, and I'm real selective because this is my own experience. Now, I don't know if anybody else has had it, but if you look at some of the fish sometimes that they sell, you can actually pick up the package and put your nose close to the package and smell the putridness of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, and you can look at the eye, and the thing is like almost, you know, totally sunk into the head, and they're still trying to sell this fish.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I don't know when somebody's going to get seriously sick, you know what I mean? But I think there's going to be some higher standards of when they have to cut off the date, where they have to, you know, make the fish, you know, throw it away. You know, I don't know when the time is. You know, I see dates on there where you've got to sell by.
Mm-hmm.
But I tell you, they should up that thing about 2 or 3 days backwards.
Well, that's why they put the carbon monoxide on it to give them a longer life. And, John, you have a comment.
Yes. Hey, nice to meet you. Good morning.
Thank you.
And it's great that you notice these things. And, you know, because a lot of these people, you see, nowadays there's a tagging issue that you have to tag the fish and label it where it's from. So if I mean, I'll be honest with you, if you're looking at the freshness of the fish, take a look a little bit lower and see where it's from. Because a lot of these people will tell you, they'll say, oh, it's Pacific tuna. And then a lot of people, again, thinks, oh, it says Pacific, it's from Hawaii. Well, the Pacific Ocean is huge, where it could be from Philippines to
Indonesia.
You know, Indonesia, right, right, you know. And I'm glad that you're you're keeping yourself to this high standard of selection, which is great. And I wish all of the people would do that and say, hey, look, we don't want this gas fish. Hey, we don't want this unfresh fish. We want stuff that is been regulated around our island. Mm-hmm. You know, which I'm gonna be honest with you, sir. Which is, again, since we don't have a level playing field, it's gonna be 50. To a dollar higher. I mean, and you know, in these kinds of times, it really just bites the consumer right in the back, right in the buttocks.
The backside.
Yeah, yeah. It just
does. Boy, there were so many words to say.
Yeah, it's my first time doing this. I didn't want to just mention you're the behind, and it does. It bites you. So all I can say to you, sir, is test yourself and check. Check your food, like how you doing, and you know, God bless you if you're buying any kind of tuna, but God bless you if you're buying Hawaii, you know, because that's all I sell. I sell Hawaii tuna because the standard is so high, you know what I mean, and then we're trying to get this product out to the world, which is hard because we're an island, mm-hmm. You know, we're just an island. Everything comes here has to be, you know, shipped in or flown in. Everything lives here, leaves this island. A product of ours has to be, you know, boated out or
right.
aired out if it's fresh.
And the FDA inspects you folks, inspects the auction block. You have to give a record. Mike, can you share with the public, as a fishing boat, what do they have to do as far as HACCP and recording and reporting?
Well, there's very stringent requirements. We have to clean, I mean, when it comes to bleaching it out, ice. We have to keep records on how long the fish was on ice, when was the last fish caught, how long has the last fish been alive or been dead at this point. Then we go from the boat.
Yeah.
Hello? Hello?
Hello?
This is Bob?
Yes, Bob?
Yeah, I just want to, one short comment before I go. The people in Hawaii are really fish conscious. Let me tell you, when I go in the market, the guys are just pretty good. You know what I mean?
Okay.
They're not dummy customers. You know what I mean? But still, some of the people that are older or are in a hurry, they just grab anything and they don't know what they got until they got home. So you guys have a good conversation, and I'll be listening. Bye.
Hey, thanks, Bob.
Thank you.
Aloha. Go ahead, Mike.
Well, yeah, and then it goes to the auction block, and then guys like John, you keep the record, too. I mean, that fish is at all times a certain temperature. It never goes above a certain temperature. Mm-hmm. Unlike the stuff when they unload them in the Philippines and General Santos down there, they're carrying the fish on their bare backs mm-hmm. to the sun. I mean, this is the reports we have. It's the same in the Marshall Islands. You know, the fish is not being constantly chilled. If it goes on the airplane, sometimes the load comes in hot. That's why they build a freezing facility out at the airport so that before it hits any inspection that they can refreeze it real mm-hmm. fast. And when it comes to the labeling, for instance, John mentioned here, you know, buy a Hawaiian fish. What I noticed in the stores is they're selling opaka paka. Now, when you think you're going to buy an opaka paka and it says opaka paka, you think this is a fish from our waters.
Right.
Yeah, but it's not so. Like John said, read a little bit lower. Then they tell you somewhere in the smallest fine print, which anybody over 50 like myself can't read anymore. I need magnifying glass for that. They're telling me, oh, it's from Indonesia somewhere. Mm-hmm. And now what I noticed, too, is in some of the stores, they're selling, you know, paka paka, which they claim is one. Down there put down it's from Indonesia, but it's not even an paka. It's not even a species. I mean, even if you wanted to use Indonesian name for it, it doesn't work. Mm-hmm. It's a Thai snapper. It's a completely... You know, you can't be selling someone a dog and give him a cat. I mean, yeah. You know, it doesn't work that way.
Well, what is really happening is why I want to drum on this issue is that people are getting sick, and I don't believe that we have, I know we don't have an aggressive enforcement at the state level or the federal level. As I've talked many times, the inspectors from the FDA stays at home, works out of their home. They rarely inspect a fish shipment. They will just go, may proceed. So you're competing with fish that's coming in We don't know the history of it. We don't know how it was cared for. We don't know anything. And so it's not advocating for your business per se. It's advocating that there's this threshold that we're coming across, or we're allowing them to make this giant step to land on our shores and then subject the public to a health risk. And
so
give you an example. For example, I did some, this is, if you go to our website, Carol Cox at carolcox.com, and that's CARROLLCOX.com. Go there later today, and what you'll do, we put together some information, and this is straight off the FDA's refusal action. Now, there's San Diego, New York, Los Angeles, Seattle, San Francisco, those ports. Just give you an example. In Indonesia, shipments come in. In December 7th, of 35 shipments, 11 of them were fish shipments that were rejected. Shrimp, tuna, crab, etc. January 8th of this year, 55 shipments were rejected. Of that, 48 of them were snapper, tuna, 48 shipments, right? And it goes on. Sometimes, even in Vietnam, there were 90% of the shipments that were rejected by FDA were fish shipments. 90%. Sometimes 96%. For example, 33 shipments would have been rejected in May of 2008. And of that 33 shipments, 32 were either with salmonella or filth. And in speaking of salmonella, this is what the federal government identifies on their records. The article appears to contain salmonella, a poisonous and deleterious substance which may render it injurious to health. So this is what you're eating. And so, for example, in February, just talking about Indonesia, and there are other countries that you should be aware of and be concerned with. But as I say, you can go to our website and you can click on and see for yourself firsthand what is being sent here to the U.S. And the concern is, as I've disclosed in other shows, even though it's rejected, it gets reboxed, resent back, and they try to ship it again. And keep in mind now, they don't inspect everything, maybe 1% of the total shipments that come in. So that's a big concern. But here's one from Indonesia, Opaka Paka, frozen, CO-treated, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Seven shipments of Opaka Paka. What was the reason rejected? Salmonella, filthy, salmonella, 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 and on and on and on. So this is what you, the consumer, is subjected to, and you don't know it. And I think there should be an aggressive effort by Safeway, by Times, by Star Market, Foodland, and in a traceback investigation, as I said earlier, these were stores that were implicated. People reported getting sick at eating fish in Foodland, Pearl City, in 11607, Don Quixote, 11307. Hollywood Joe's was someone reported there that they had gotten sick. These are traceback investigations. This occurred back in 110. 08, and it just goes on and on and on. And so Sack and Save at Nanakuli, there was cases there. Onset was 11:23. The exposure was 12:24.
Yeah, but this is always, you're talking always about imported fish.
Yes, yes, yes.
Right. Because because you know, one of the key factors too is the carbon monoxide. Because carbon monoxide, they claim in the stores it's to retain color. It's not. That's not at all. It changes the color on a redfish, on a tuna, and on the other ones, it just... well, what it really does, it masks the smell of rotten fish.
Right.
Because that's the purpose of carbon monoxide. Because you as a consumer, there's only a couple of ways you can identify a product if it's fresh or not. One is smell and a sight.
Mm-hmm.
The sight, you take care of it, the carbon monoxide, it makes it always look good. You can leave it out in the sun for months. It will look the same watermelon cherry red. That's why all that stuff looks like that. But it's the smell. It masks the smell. And if it deprives you of smelling, if it's good or bad, you don't know what you're eating.
And if it deceives you and let it make it look red.
And that's only on imported, never on anything else.
John?
Again, what I'd like to say is Mr. Cox here, he deals on facts. So go to his website. If you want to educate yourself, go to his website. Because what he states on his website is facts. And, you know, very simple. You know, you can hear hearsay and you can hear all of these other things. But if you base your complaints or your suggestions on facts, I mean, it's a fact. Yeah. It's nothing else. It's just a fact.
I think Steve got a question for you two guys. Steve, good morning. How are you?
I got a question for you. You just mentioned that all these imported fish products on these various store outlets have been rejected. Who is rejecting these shipments?
Okay, some of the shipments are being rejected. You know, the government can't inspect every shipment. So
who is rejecting
them? The FDA.
Oh, okay, because you just made a statement that the FDA people stay in their homes and they don't...
Well, I did, Steve, but you got to walk with me, talk with me. What I said was here in Honolulu...
Yeah.
They,
no, I'm talking about Honolulu. I'm talking about Honolulu's store. You're talking about Don Quixote, Foodland.
Right. Well, let me clarify something then, because if one is confused, there's 100. What I'm saying is this. Fish comes in at various ports, Los Angeles, Florida, New York, Seattle, Honolulu. And what happens is that here in Honolulu, our inspectors rarely do fish inspections. Honolulu. But the fish may go into Los Angeles. In Los Angeles, the agency is fining some of the shipments. Remember now, they don't inspect 100% of the shipments coming in. It's impossible. So
neither do they inspect containers because there's millions coming.
Exactly. So
go ahead.
So the point is that what I'm reading here, the refusal action that you hear me talk about, is that these are that I've gleaned from the federal government's website, saying that for this month, for example, X number of shipments have been in February 2008 from Indonesia. 27 shipments came in and they were rejected, right? Not all fish, but of the 27 shipments, 13 were rejected.
But you say rejected, but rejected where? I mean, you
at the port.
Local. You talking about local stores?
No, fish
being rejected.
No, okay, we're talking about the local stores aren't rejecting anything. They're whatever when it's on their shelf, they haven't rejected.
Someone had been rejected the shipments to
right.
Sack and Save and Foodland.
No,
they got rejected at the port. They got rejected at the port.
You see, they never reached the local stores.
They never reached the local stores because of the FDA and stuff like that.
No, I just wanted a clarification.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
It's clear. What I read to you about the stores, Steve, was that, and I've read this before. You should have called me about 6 months ago on this one. What I was telling you was notes that I have where people reported to the state government that they consume fish that was imported and they purchase it from Safeway, Don Quixote, and Times and what have you, and they got sick, and that was in a trace back. That's how that when that was it got through, it wasn't caught. You follow?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. And doesn't the local health department have a responsibility to check into this also?
Yes, sir. They do. They all do. But on the same hand, again, it's me. Okay, it's John.
I'm asking Carol Cox.
Okay, excuse me.
Well, I've talked about this. Yes, they do. And then if you've heard my shows where they refused to disclose any information, and it was because I came on these shows and exposed the fact that they wouldn't even acknowledge, for example, in October that people had gotten sick. In November of 2007, until I went to the media and other sources and forced them to come out and disclose that. So,
okay, I got one more question.
Right.
What authority have you to go to Don Quixote and question their practices, and why would they even listen to you, let you in there, since you're not an official entity?
Well, I have one authorization, and that is in God We Trust. If you look at the dollar. Okay, that's my authority.
If I was the manager at Don Quixote, I wouldn't even let you in my store.
Well, I understand, but see, that's why you and I are friends, because we understand. We know not to tread on each other, but if when one is violating me and violating the public who I dearly care about and the natural resources, sometimes we have to ignore the laws to make right right. Because laws are made kind of quirky, right? So
I understand. Yeah. But this information, say, Don Quixote, does it get out into the local media and the newspapers?
This is the media. You're talking. I mean, you're prompted to call. Hey.
I mean...
Well, it's been in, Steve.
Everybody's out golfing at the beach today.
No, it's to but it's on the website. But, Steve, there was an article just 2 weeks ago in the Star Bulletin about this subject that covered the work that we're doing. There's been numerous TV stories exposing this and the settlement and what have you. So, yeah.
Would Midweek accept an articles from you, since they cover the whole island? Not too many people even subscribe to Star Bulletin Advertiser anymore.
Well, what I would do is I would say if you'd like to champion that cause, call them up, write them up, and ask them if they would. You know, my job here is to just go out and ferret out information and then disseminate it as best I can. And that's what I'm doing here.
I think this information to get out, because... Now you got me afraid of buying fish in the stores unless it's, you know, locally caught.
And I think that's what I'm trying to do, is say to the consumer, say to the buyer, say to the stores, look, you let us know and tell us where it's coming from, how it's treated, where it's kept, and then you could also think local. They're selling you the same fish, but if you listen later, I'm going to be talking about Taiwan, for example. That'll floor you. But these things are creeping in while we're looking at melamine and mercury. Salmonella and histamines and filth is just running rampant. But anyway, I'm going to move on. And
I just want to make a comment. I've been to fish markets in Taiwan and Hong Kong. I wouldn't buy anything there.
Yeah, okay, Steve. Hey, good hearing from you again.
God bless.
Yeah, they tell you when you go over there, don't drink the water, but you can eat the fish they cleaned with the water.
All right. We got another caller. Jane, are you there? You got a call or a question for
us? Yes. I don't remember whether you said this, but are the stores required to on their label to say where it comes from?
They are required, Jane. But when we started this campaign some 2 years ago, it was very nonchalantly or reluctantly that they post anything. And so by hammering and getting the public informed and, advised of this, they are coming around slowly. But the state health department and the FDA and all of those should be a little more aggressive. And because if you go to that website, as I told you, and you'll be able to see.
Yeah, because it's hard for us to know if we don't know where it's coming from.
Yeah, John, I got a comment for you.
Excuse me. Yes, it has been, you know, it takes sometimes, like it says, without people like Cox digging up and saying, hey, this is not right. And look, that's not right. The consumers like you and I and everybody else need to know, supposed to know, should know where it's coming from. So they're nowadays, I'm pretty sure it's a law now, man, that they have to label. They have to label where it's from. You cannot say Pacific and then think it's from Hawaii. They have to label it, and you know, as I said, it takes a little time. It takes a half minute more. Look where it's coming from, ma'am.
And then you can ask the meat market if you know where it is coming from.
Exactly, ma'am.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, inquiring minds. You know, you have to inquire everything. You know, we don't have people like Mr. Cox here that is just feeding, trying to feed the community, you know, the right info, you know. So you have to burden a little on top of your shoulder and seek and say, hey, where's this from? Hey, you know, because it's your money. I'm going to be honest with you again. It's your money that is spent here in Hawaii to keep our product at the cutting edge, mm-hmm. you know, at the cutting edge, to keep it healthy, to keep it for everybody, you know, make it good for everybody else. But like you said, the playing field is not that great. So the only way the playing field is going to get great is by the consumer coming, I mean, asking, mm-hmm. knowing, wanting to know. You know, and products from other places, I can't say, but to be honest, you know, a lot of these third world countries are hard to compete, you know. It's a dollar in a pocket, you know. Somebody mm-hmm. says, hey, it passes, and, you know, it's my daughter's birthday tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, Jane, what you do, the best thing to do is become a little more aware and talk to the managers there and ask, demand of them. And I mean, don't become a scientist, but you know.
Just to know, let them know we're interested.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Well, I appreciate
Thank
you calling.
Thank you very much.
Thank
yes,
you.
Yes. Really appreciate you calling.
Pat, are you there? Good morning, Pat. Got a call, a question for Mike or John or myself?
For all of you. The issue seems to be the imported fish.
Yes.
That are having the problem. So if people are asking at the stores where the fish is coming from, I'm just wondering about how much supply there is coming into our own, from our own waters, that why we aren't just, like, don't we have enough fish just to supply ourselves locally? Because if John's exporting high-quality Hawaiian tuna only, then he's getting it from Hawaiian waters.
Mm-hmm.
We obviously have the standards here. If people are asking at the stores where the fish is coming from, could they not also just add in the demand for more local fish?
Right.
Yes, ma'am. And let me ask that. Excuse me.
Go ahead.
Yes, and you know, and that would be supporting our fishing fleet. That would be supporting our fishing fleet. But I'll be honest with you, ma'am. A lot of the fish that are caught here, the demand for it is so high outside of Hawaii because of people like Mr. Cox, but that are stationed in Seattle and all these other places in the United, all these other states in the United States are saying, hey, look, Hawaii has the best, you know, HACCP plan. Let's infiltrate. Let's get the tuna out of there. Let's pay a little bit more because, you know, it's worth it. And that's what the people, and we all in Hawaii, we are paying high already, you know. So, you know, like I said, spend that 50 cents more and say, hey, look, I don't want this. I want the local stuff that's been caught around the island because of the simple reason, like people like Cox that are digging in and this, you know, bringing everything to the surface and saying, hey, look, this is not acceptable. We have to, here in Hawaii, have to go to this measures of sanitation. Hey, I think the playing field should be open, and these other people should have to go to this level.
So if Hawaii as a state said, we have a standard that as a consumer, we will only eat our own fish because of all these other issues, and our standards are so great, like, nationally, you would think that the word would get out, and that could only help the export.
Yes, yes, ma'am. Like I'm saying, it helps us. It helps us. When you say, because then all these other companies and all these other countries have to come up to bat. They have to be accountable. They have to be accountable to saying, hey, this is our standards. Mm-hmm. I mean, our standards haven't happened overnight. I mean, it took time to get up because... Like anybody else, here in Hawaii, we are fresh fish consumers. We want the best. We know what is the best. You don't see people going in the store and just going, hey, you know, give me that fish and turn around and look at it. They're saying, hey, what's wrong with that eye? Hey, how come it's like this? Hey, where did it come from? And the more people that we have doing this, the better it'll be for the Hawaii product. Mm.
Well,
go ahead. Yeah, just on a note, it's not just the tuna and the imported. What it is because John said, you know, over here locally we have this demand for fresh. So when you put down the word fresh, to us it means something when we're standing at the counter at the store. For instance, I got a picture right here in front of me from Octopus from Safeway, Chuka Idako. It says fresh island favorite. So I asked the guy, you know, I mean, which one of the boats is catching this? Because, first of all, I know that we don't have this octopus here in the islands. You can't get those baby octopus. And so I asked him, and then he says, well, it's flown in frozen from Japan. Well, if it was frozen, how do you get to put down fresh? That's, I think, the bigger concern, the bigger picture. Because we always want fresh, so they put on a label fresh. They say it's fresh when it's not. It's the same with the blue crab they sell, the kimchi, the hot crab at Safeway, mm-hmm. for instance. It says fresh on it, island favorite, but all of it was previously frozen, and it's imported from China. That's what the fishmonger says behind the counter.
Right.
Well, I don't want to eat crab from China. I would buy crab from Hawaii, but I don't want to eat it from China. Mm-hmm. End of story. So by him putting down fresh, I always bought it, and then one day I decided I'm just going to ask. And it turns out, no, it was frozen.
Right. Well, Jane, are you there? Okay.
Pat.
I'm sorry. Pat. But any other question or any comment?
No, I think that answered it. I was just thinking, taking it a step further, if you're going to be talking to the manager anyways and asking where the fish is from, you know, put the extra effort in to say, encourage more, you know, local fish as well, because mm-hmm. like John said, that it would help the fleets and the, you know, the fishermen all around, I think.
Right.
Yes.
But
God bless you.
That's,
you
know,
what you gotta do.
And understand there's many aspects of this, and that is safety of the public, the industry itself. We don't want to kill jobs, and we also want to protect the species in other countries. So if we're here, I mean, and keep in mind, now, there's no perfect world. I'm not going to represent that there is no species being impacted here by the fishing industry or anything, but it becomes kind of crazy when you have an industry here having to toe the line in a certain way, and then fish coming in from other countries where there's no oversight, no regulatory authority, and no ways of checking. It's just showing up. And when you now have salmonella and what have you, it impacts, it gives an image because of local. A lot of people think it's local. So the real issue here, John and Mike, is that what needs to be done, when people have to understand, if they go in and pay $11.99 for local pokey, for example, a pound, and they go in and pay $9.99 for imported, the problem is it's $2 cheaper, but the problem is you're taking a risk with the salmonella. And I'm saying based on the documentation that I have and the number of shipments that are seized and the fact that I'm concerned. And I'm concerned because having worked at ports and been in doing inspection, I know how of a massive job it is and the amount that you don't inspect. And I'm also aware that some shipments can be rejected and they give them back to, they'll just refuse in part or in, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then
mm-hmm.
they're given back to the individual, and that individual then sends it back around. I mean, there is evidence of that.
I don't know everything. Like I said, Cox, a lot of your words mm-hmm. come up from your facts,
yeah.
stuff that you researched. And you know, it's not, you're not the blind trying to lead the blind.
No.
You're digging stuff up. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You're stepping on feet.
Yeah.
You're stepping on feet and you're making people feel uncomfortable.
But since
you're doing that, mm-hmm. hey, these stuffs are surfacing, yeah. and you're reporting it.
But so you know, and people like Steve. I mean, Steve calling often. I really appreciate people like him. They don't just take my word or
exactly.
but be challenging and take that
exactly.
same
initiative.
Like Steve, if you want an example, how should you approach your grocery store? Take the Steve approach. Ask the questions. Walk in there. Don't just take the word and say, hey, where is it from? What is this fish? You call it, if it's channel catfish, or if it's cod, is it a bassa from Vietnam? Right? Or, you know, period.
Where is it from?
You know, what about your, have you Safeway, have you Don Quixote or Star Market, have you actually gone to see the facility to ensure that they have HACCP?
Because they're doing millions of dollars
right.
of business with these people. Well, I mean, why wouldn't it be in their best interest to send somebody there to check their plant?
And they have an obligation morally
to the,
to
people.
The public.
Right.
right. I mean,
right.
you know, okay, you're making $10. And so that's what the problem is. Well, Pat, thank you for calling in.
Okay, thank you.
Thank
Alrighty.
You, Pat, really. You know, honestly, thank you again.
For instance, Time Market, I think they don't even have any more meat cutters.
Right.
Because, you know, it wasn't that what a strike was about, because
mm-hmm.
they got cut out, because everything is pre-cut in other nations, in Indonesia and the Philippines. But what I find amazing is when you look at a meat cutter in an American store, you see a guy that's dressed up warm. When you look at the same meat cutter in the Philippines
mm-hmm.
who's cutting the fish, he's standing there in a short-sleeve T-shirt. Now, can
right.
you tell me how someone in a room that's not supposed to be more than 35 Fahrenheit can cut meat or fish? For 8 hours.
Isn't that amazing?
That's amazing.
That's amazing.
And then you have...
We all wear warm clothing and except them.
And that same picture is in that same situation, same house or
right.
factory. There's the government has documented there's human blood on the table. They've cut their fingers and they got gloves that they, when they do wear gloves, and the gloves are cut, and they got tape on the gloves. But all of that fish is destined
filtering into
coming here.
Yes.
Right.
Because,
somehow,
you know, and well, it's cubed. If you look at all these report of these refusal documents, it's a cubed ahi poki, right?
Yes, yep. Yes.
It's targeting this community here, the state of Hawaii and the local, because we consume
a lot
of poke, right?
Hey, we love
tons
it.
And tons and tons. The Naval Exchange buys several tons annually,
yes,
you know, as an example.
Yes,
so,
yes.
And if you label it ahi, I think it's misleading already, because to us, ahi is something that was locally caught. So to call an Indonesian product ahi, I think is mislabeling. It's misinforming the consumer.
But I would say, based on what I know and personally, I have limited myself. I don't eat much meat anyway. No meat at all, but even a little fish. But even that, I'm concerned now. If it's not local, I'm really concerned. Let me just give you an example. In gleaning again from the federal government's list, these are shipments that come in from Taiwan now. See, the concern, Vietnam, Philippines, China, Malaysia, Thailand, and in some of those cases where the people got sick, where the stores or businesses were implicated in 2007, they're showing up being rejected, their shipments still being rejected with salmonella, citramina, or mama gina from the Philippines. You go to the refusal list of the FDA, you'll find their name pops up again. But in Taiwan, for example, I just went through and took a... there's so many of them, tilapia, salmonella. Well, they're raising them in the type of water that these fish come from. If they're farm-raised, right? These are farm-raised. Frozen round milkfish, you know, salmonella. Xianlin frozen foods. Just goes a mahi-mahi. I wasn't aware that a lot of mahi-mahi comes from Taiwan. But
exactly.
What I did find, several shipments here. Here's a company, Fu Ming International. Here they had several and rejected. September 8th, 2008.
Yesterday. It seems like yesterday when you tell me.
Mahi-mahi. And I mean, it's a Sui Xing Ice Frozen Company. February, tilapia. And it's all salmonella, filthy, histamines. That's enough to frighten.
That's scary.
Well, it's not only the filthy fish. Why do they allow? Now they're selling small papillo in stores, for instance.
Yeah.
You don't even get to keep a papillo that small if you go fishing for it over here as a sport fisherman.
Right.
So the small papillo from the Philippines is any different?
Right.
Why are they getting to sell the baby fish?
And so we're consuming and impacting at a distance.
Yeah.
Having a negative impact on the local resources there. So that's the other aspect of it.
It's good for the gander.
Right.
What's good for the goose is good for everybody.
And so we should be cognizant of that. You know?
Yes, yes, yes.
But anyway, real quick, we got about 2 minutes left. You got anything else real quick, John?
All I can say is what you're saying is go to your website. Look at these things. Look at facts. You can be your own judge. Nobody's telling you to do anything what you don't want to do. Just be your own judge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, be accountable to you and to your family. You know, go, pop it up.
All I can say is if John ever would send a fish and it is being rejected, which never happens and never has happened,
mm-hmm,
why would anybody stay in the business of buying? You know, if I'm in the business of purchasing fish and I get to call that another shipment that I ordered has been rejected, why would I keep dealing with a source like this unless, in my heart, I'm trying to defraud the consumer? Because I really don't care. And I think that's what this is all about. So for the public out there, please buy from guys like John, because that way you know you get fresh fish.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I appreciate all of you listening in. And if you have any questions, please don't hesitate to call. And thanks all of you for joining in. And on the 30th, I'm going to have, of this month, I'm going to have Miss Nalani Oles coming in. And we're going to just sit and talk. And hopefully she'll be kind enough to play us some music and tell us some good Hawaiian story. So, having said all of that, I appreciate John Hernandez and Mike. And John, if people want to, do you sell locally to anybody, or how do they contact you?
I do all exports, pretty much. I do all exports. But if you guys want to contact me, I mean, I'm willing to help anybody that wants to buy Hawaii again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, from our fishing agency, anybody that wants to back it up. And my number is 630-7449-808, 630-7449. People like Mr. Cox, just trying to open up people's eyes, and may God be with it. God bless.
All righty. Well, thank you. Aloha.
This is KWAI, Honolulu 1080 on the AM dial.